Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everyone. It's March Madness season, and we all know what that means. And don't even think about saying basketball. It means Hot Guy March Madness, where we create a bracket of all our fave hotties of the moment, make categories for them to compete in, and decide on a winner with a special guest in the studio. But this year, we want your input. So we tweeted out our bracket, take a look, and let us know why you want your man to win. You can find us at UnhappyHourPod on Twitter for more info. Let us know why you think your hottie should take the crown. And now, on with the show. Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. I didn't really know what to write for the intro right now, so I just wanted to say I'm happy to see you.
Shut up, Barry.
Will do.
So we'll start off, as always, with Worst Things First, where we talk about the worst news of the week. And after that, we are diving deep into the worst parts of going out. Because yes, I love to karaoke. Yes, I love to dance. But I would much rather do all those things within the confines of my own home, where it's legal for me to have my dick out. And finally, we've got actor Brandon Scott Jones on the pod. Darcy Carden and Pat Regan, both former guests and friends of the pod, said we absolutely need to have Brandon on the show. And we're not going to let them down, okay? Because Brandon is here for an interview and a game of Elabor Love. The opposite of Elabor Hate. Don't know what I mean? Neither do I. But we'll all know by the end of the episode. So let's do it. Let's get into it. Let's stay in all night and start the show. All right, worst things first, the worst news of the week. Our first story came from someone on Twitter named Kate Kelly, who said, if this isn't on this week's Worst Things First, I will riot. So now you don't have to fucking riot, but also do not threaten me ever, because I will come for you. The first story is, a man in Oregon said he and his dog survived in his SUV, which was trapped in the snow for 5 days, by eating packets of Taco Bell fire sauce. Presumably they stayed warm by hovering their hands and paws over their steaming hot diarrhea. How do you eat just Taco Bell fire sauce for 5 days and survive? These people, he should be dead.
We should have him on the pod. Exclusive interview.
So there's this 36-year-old guy who he goes off-roading, you know, as you do. He goes off-roading in Oregon, and he drove up. He was like on a mountain with his dog, Allie. like Star is Born. His SUV got stuck in the snow, and he tried walking, but there was too much snow to get for help, so he just had to stay in his car, and he and his dog just ate Taco Bell fire sauce. And on Twitter, he said, "Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives." So now you know, you should always have hot sauce in your bag, because it could save your fucking life. I just want the, I want like the Castaway version of this story. I want the Castaway movie. You know the end of Castaway where like Tom Hanks returns from the island and he's like standing there. You've never seen
No, of course not.
You're a homophobe.
Oh my God.
It's the end of the Castaway movie. Like after he's used Wilson like a fleshlight a bunch of times and he's back. You don't understand it.
Nope.
He's back in his house and he's just like standing. Do you know the premise of Castaway?
Barely.
He gets stranded on
an
island.
That's the part that I know.
And then he eventually gets rescued.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Sorry. And then he's back at his house and it's after like 5 or 6 years or whatever and everyone thought he was dead. But he's standing he's like lying there flicking a light switch on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be like, oh wow, we take it for granted. Electricity. I want that scene with this guy where he's like standing in a Taco Bell, just staring at all of the options and all the mounds of sauce, milds and medium.
This is going to be your first feature film.
I just wrote an entire movie. And then the climactic emotional scene.
Yeah.
Next, an unlicensed gun owner in Indiana is recovering in a hospital after accidentally shooting himself in the penis and scrotum.
What? Oh, Hoosiers, why are you doing this?
This is just one of the least surprising things I've ever read. Apparently, he was carrying a handgun in his waistband when the weapon began to slip.
I've always wondered about this. That would always be a fear of mine if I were to have a gun in my... Well, okay, first of all, I'm terrified of guns. I even cried at like a third grade birthday party that was at a laser gun place and they handed me a laser gun and then I just immediately started weeping. So would not be around guns. That being said, I have thought about when they're in the waistband, what if you forget to put the safety on? And this actually happened.
Well, yeah, first things first, you should probably like know how to operate a gun if you're going to shove it next to your dick. He was unlicensed, so he didn't actually like have permission to be using this gun. But it began to slip in his waistband and he reached down to adjust it and it was not in a holster. So he just like had it shoved down the front of his pants. Which is just like, you deserve everything that happened to you. And then the bullet entered, according to police, the bullet entered just above his penis and exited his scrotum. Ah! I hate that. So I wonder, I don't even know. Did it mean it like missed the actual penis and it just went like beneath it through the testes?
I don't know.
Either way, I don't think he's definitely just a Ken doll down there now. I don't think there's anything left. The man who blew off his dick also has 2 felony convictions for narcotics stealing. I would have pegged him for like just an average businessman, father of 3.5. White picket fence, blew his dick off.
Yeah.
Love it. Love that for him. Congrats,
good for you,
sir.
Man.
And finally, last year, a 2,000-year-old bronze pot was discovered by archaeologists working at the tomb of a noble family in central China. Great news.
Cool.
It contained about a gallon of yellowish alcohol-smelling liquid, and scientists at the time assumed it was just like a very old wine.
Mm.
But recent lab work shows that the liquid was actually made of potassium nitrate and alunite, which, according to ancient Taoist texts, are the main ingredients of the elixir of life.
No.
So basically, scientists found a gallon of immortal juice and they're not sharing. What a weird long story that was.
It's been a while since we've had some like ancient pottery beats, so I'm just excited to be back here.
I feel like we should be like passing it around.
Yeah.
Like take a sip and pass.
Yeah.
Or let's sake bomb it.
There we go.
I do like this article. This was in Gizmodo. They said, it's doubtful that the combination of potassium nitrate and alunite worked as intended. No shit. It was also dug up with a dead body.
Right, yeah, there we go. That's it right there.
Yeah, it ends with, the only way to know for sure whether the concoction really confers immortality will be to test it on a human subject.
You volunteer as tribute?
I guess. I've pretty much drank, I mean, I've drank a Starbucks drink from the ground before.
Right.
That's not a joke. In college, I spilt an entire Starbucks drink on the carpeted floor of my dorm room.
Matthew.
Which had been used for decades before me.
God, and you never vacuumed. You never carpet cleaned that.
And I stuck the straw in the puddle.
No.
And sucked.
And you've eaten a Starbucks sandwich off of a cab floor?
Yeah, but that was down there for much less time.
Oh.
I ate one sandwich off of the floor of a cab.
Starbucks.
Anyway, that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we got a little deep dive for you. It's basically an ode to my couch and why I'd rather be there than at some sweaty bar with you fools. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. Deep dive.
All right. Going out is the topic of this week's deep dive. I feel like I've been making more of an effort to get out of my apartment lately, for good or bad. Now that I'm engaging more in the culture that is going out, I have a lot of opinions about how much it actually sucks. So let's get into it. The worst things about going out. First, there is way too much preparation that has to happen before you go out. Not even just physically, but like mentally. Because obviously you have to like pick out the perfect outfit, do your hair, pick the right shoes, pluck whatever has to be plucked, do a couple of push-ups so your muscles bulge just a little bit. But also you have to prepare like emotionally. Like I feel like I've reached a point where I have to psych myself into going out just to like... You have to, like, slap yourself in front of a mirror. You have to, like, slap the social spirit into your body. I don't know. I don't know if you feel similarly.
Oh, no, I'm right there with you.
It's just a lot has to happen. A lot has to happen to get to that point where I'm, like, ready to open the door and face not just the world, but, like, the world of going out.
Yeah.
Where everyone is drunk, it's hot, it's sweaty, it's dark. There's like different colored lights for some reason because we've just decided that regular lights aren't good enough. Lasers.
Oh yeah, lost smoke, so many lasers.
Steam.
And when there's smoke, I have
humidity.
To take my inhaler.
Then you always run into people you don't want to see. That's my least. If you go out in the world, you're going to see some shit that you don't want to see. And it's like, I'm out, I'm drunk. I don't have the inhibitions to stop myself from saying all the shit that I really want to say. So feelings are about to get hurt. Probably mine. I always thought it was weird when Carrie Bradshaw was like walking to get coffee and somehow ran into every person she's ever fucked in like a one block stretch. But now I'm like, oh yeah, okay, there's 8 million people, but also I did the fucking math.
Oh no. Oh, no. Mathlete.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I talked about this in therapy.
Oh, God. Oh, no. It wasn't even for the show.
No, it was for the show, but I trotted it out. Okay, here's my math. I actually looked it up on Wikipedia. There's 270,000 people who identify as gay, lesbian, or bi in the New York City area. Not the metropolitan
Metro.
Area,
right.
Which includes New Jersey and Connecticut. That's like I'm
we're
not
running into them,
you
know.
So that's 894 lesbian, gay, bisexual people per square mile. So let's just assume conservatively that 40% of those people are lesbian. That'll take 60%. That's 536 gay men per square mile. But also if we take New York City averages overall, the other only 25% of those people fall into like the 20 to 35 category that I'm probably interacting with. Even that is like, I'm not interacting with 20-year-olds. So that's 134 gays per square mile. And I probably only go out in the same, like, 4x4 mile radius.
Right.
So that's 16 square miles. So that's 2,144 gays. What I'm saying is that I cannot be trusted to go out and not have to face one of the hundreds of gays that I'm currently in a fight with. Okay? The statistics are not on my side. I realize this is specific to about 2,144 people, none of whom listen to this podcast. Maybe like two of them listen to this podcast. But yeah, the struggle is real.
I've never been more proud of you.
Next! How are you supposed to decide what to do? There are too many options for going out. What order do you do everything in? Do you eat dinner first?
Yes.
Do you pregame somewhere? Do people even call it pregaming anymore? What bar do we start at? What bar do we end up at? When does karaoke factor in? Do I have to bring my own microphone to make this bar a karaoke bar? There are so many questions. Then there's always that one friend who gets too messy, and you have to make a split-second decision about whether you acknowledge that you're actually friends with that person, or if you just cut it off right then and there and leave them.
Oh, God.
I was that person for, like, 1 week my senior year of college. I mean, it encompassed 2 weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, like, a full-blown mess, threw up in a couple cabs and on someone's couch.
Oh, my God.
And on their cat.
Oh, my God.
But after your coworker's husband has to bathe you in their bathtub, you learn your lesson pretty quickly.
Mad.
Not everybody has the fortune that I had to experience that.
Yeah.
No, I remember once I was out with friends and someone, I won't say who, but they have been a guest on Happy Hour before. She got too drunk. We were trying to ask her for her address so we could put her in a cab and send her away. And we got like a vague but clear enough answer to, like, we got a neighborhood. So we were like, all right, we can ship her in that direction.
Oh, God.
And we got her in the cab and watched it. And it drove 2 blocks, pulled over, and made her get out. And we were like, God damn it. Next, going out is expensive. I know this is an obvious point, but it's like, do I want to stay in and open the 6-pack of wine bottles that I got at CVS for $8? Or do I want to go out to one bar and somehow spend $3,000 on watered down drinks surrounded by a bunch of sweaty people who I hate?
Stay in. The answer is stay in the wine bottles.
Also, some places have covers and it's like, no, I get paid to show up to places, sir.
Boom.
You should be thanking me for showing up to this mess. And the bouncer's always like, okay, well, are you paying me $20? And it's like, yes, sir. Here you go, sir. Thank you so much. Where's the bathroom? I have to make pee. Also, there's too many people when you're out. There's just people everywhere. And there's always like a bachelorette party and like a herd of straight men just like aggressively breathing out of their noses for no reason. And I'm too sweaty of a person to have to basically like rodeo wrestle my way through a bunch of drunk white girls just so I can get the fucking bartender's attention. And I know, like, bartenders in New York especially are so jaded because they see the worst of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just assholes to everybody. And it's like, listen, I hate people as much as you, sir. I'm so sorry that this is your place in life right now. But also, like, please be nice to me because I am very fragile. And if you give me one more dirty look, I will cry into this mojito. I just don't, like, just tell me if you don't want to make that drink, say no. I hate when I order something and they're like, ugh. I did have one bartender refuse to make a Long Island iced tea, which was the correct response. Also, the DJ never takes my suggestions. I went through a phase where I passionately requested Beyonce at every bar that I ever went to because that is acceptable. If you're out dancing, like, Beyonce is the only answer. Nobody's mad when a Beyonce song
comes
on.
Absolutely not.
And if you are, then that's your own problem.
You shouldn't be at that bar.
They think they're, like, above it. And it's like, I know you went to DJ school and you think you're so much better than the rest of us who don't know how to press play on Spotify. But nobody is impressed by your fucking music choices, so put on fucking End of Time so I can take my boobs out and smash them against this wet glass. I don't know why I went there.
I don't know what kind of bars you're at.
I do remember I went out to, where was it? Have you ever been to the Jane Hotel?
Of course not.
In Greenwich Village. One of the rooms was like a, there was like dancing. And I went up to the DJ and I was like, can you play Beyonce? And he just stared at me. And I was like, Beyonce. And he like finished my sentence. I was like, Beyonce. And he said, sucks. And my mouth fell down. And I stared at him because I was wasted for a full 2 minutes until like I wasn't. This is absolutely true. I just stood there with my drink and my mouth open staring at this man who was just refusing to look at me. And finally, every time I go out, I somehow fucking end up at McDonald's and I end up dropping like $50 on nugs and McFlurries. I've gotten pretty lucky, actually, the last handful of times that I've gone to McDonald's because the McFlurry machine has been operational, which is pretty rare.
Yeah, God is on your side.
That's why I'm like, did I die? Is this all a simulation? But then I think like the worst part is you have to spend so much time, at least for me now, recovering.
Oh, yeah.
Not just a physical recovery. It is a mental and emotional recovery that, yeah, you can't fuck with that. It'll fuck you up. It's just a never-ending cycle of going out and recovering and then going out. And then eventually you die. And that's the best that we can all hope for, really. And that's it for this week's Deep Dive. Next, we've got Brandon Scott Jones in the studio after this commercial break. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp online counseling can help. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in all the issues we deal with. You can talk about depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. You feel it? They talk about it. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's all confidential and convenient. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, as well as chat and text with your therapist. That's way more productive than just scrolling through your apps. Plus, if for some reason you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Unhappy Hour listeners even get 10% off your first month with the discount code UNHAPPY. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/unhappy, which, by the way, is the perfect URL. Then you just fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/unhappy. Today's episode is brought to you by Lisa. Lisa believes that a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. And they believe that every body has the right to rest. That's why they make two awesome mattresses plus accessories and bases to give your body the deep rest it needs. The all-foam Lisa mattress is new and improved, featuring cooling LSA 200 foam for enhanced pressure relief for side sleepers, which is great for me and my body pillow. And their Sapira hybrid mattress is the perfect combo of foam and spring for pressure relief and edge-to-edge support. Not only does your body rest easy, but your mind can too, because Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell to organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. To date, they've donated more than 32,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. I'd been dreading visiting my parents because I knew I'd basically be sleeping on a rock slab disguised as a mattress in my childhood bedroom. Until now, because we finally replaced it with a brand spanking new Lisa mattress. It is a delight to sleep my gorgeous head upon. And my mom's happy too, because now I want to come home even more thanks to my Lisa mattress. So whether you're treating yourself to a new mattress or one for your guest bedroom, you can get 15% off your entire order at lisa.com/unhappy and use promo code UNHAPPY. That's LEESA.com/unhappy, promo code UNHAPPY. My guest complainer today is actor Brandon Scott Jones. You might know him from last season of The Good Place. The new movie, Isn't It Romantic?, where he parodies the stereotype of the GBF, gay best friend. Welcome, Brandon Scott Jones.
Hi, how's it going?
Welcome to the pod.
Yeah.
You have been recommended by, like, multiple friends of the pod.
Really?
Darcy Carden.
Love her.
Love Darcy. Pat Regan. Everyone's like, you gotta have Brandon in.
Oh my God, that's
and
really
here you
nice.
Are.
Here I am. I'm so grateful. Thanks for taking the recommendations.
Yeah. So I'm excited to talk to you. We always start off, we ask everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Yeah. I was very stressed out trying to think through this. This was,
it's not supposed to be stressful.
No, I know. I don't know
this
why
is
I
cathartic.
Was.
Cathartic. It's supposed to be to get your juices.
Yes,
you know,
just to get my juices.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think I'm, so I came and I was like, wait, I don't hate anything. But then also I was, that's a full blown lie.
You have
I
to
thought
leave.
Of too many
you'd
things.
You have to leave. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tossed between two.
Okay. We can talk about both.
We could talk about both. One, this is not fun, but I mean like celery.
Okay. I know everybody else loves celery.
I can't tell if they do or not, because when people are like, it's in everything and people are like fine with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can you eat that? You're psychotic.
Have you heard now? I guess it's a thing to drink celery juice in the morning.
No,
that's like a
is it?
Yeah.
Wait, what nutrient? It's supposed to be a negative. That's the other thing, is that it's a negative food. Like it takes more energy to consume it than it does to what you get from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I'd always heard. But I don't even know. Yeah, there was some, I visited a friend in Mexico City and she was staying with these people, and one of them was this kind of like Insta blogger girl.
Ooh.
And she was like, we have to stop so I can get my celery juice. And she had to explain to this driver who did not speak English that we were like making a pit stop for her to get celery juice. But yeah, I was like, it's water. What is in it?
I don't know either. It's just like, it's fun flavored water. That's what I would imagine.
Yeah, because I don't understand what's in it that is like helpful.
It's like, I don't know if my palate is just not for it, but like I can bite into it and I can be like, whoa, that is spicy. Or I'll bite into it and be like, what is this turd that I'm eating?
That is an aggressively white thing to say. Celery is spicy.
Celery, oh my gosh. And I'm a spicy food guy, but I was like, there is some kick to celery where I'm just like, I don't like ants on a lot, any type of thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's not
what if
fun.
It's like in something?
Like if it's
like
boiled in a soup, like
yeah,
if it's like down to mush, then it becomes just another chunk in a liquid.
Right.
But then if it's in like tuna salad or chicken salad or whatever, it's all I can taste. I don't like the crisp crunch mixed with like a soft mush.
Yeah, sometimes they don't chop it enough, and then it's like, yeah, a big like crunchy bit in the middle of your chicken salad.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, no, that is a good way. I will say, I don't know how many people are like
dying. How about this? And I'll do this one. Here's the one that I think it's Halloween.
Yeah,
I mean,
hard agree.
Right. Okay, so I'm not, everyone else doesn't love it, but I feel like
I hate most things.
Yeah,
so
okay, there you
I'm
go.
I'm a bad example. But
I would say Halloween, but more specifically because I like horror movies and I like watching things that are scary.
Okay.
And I like the spirit of like spooky. Like,
sure.
Does that make sense? But I hate like I think Halloween as an adult, like when I'm like talk to people who are like, what are you going to be for Halloween? And I'm like, we're in our 30s. You know what I mean? Like, wait, why do I have to keep thinking about this?
Where have you spent Halloween? Like, have you spent Halloween's in LA a lot?
No, I've only spent Halloween's here, I think.
Okay. Well,
and also where I grew up in Maryland. And I think I have a memory of my mom being really into it, but she's like very religious. So it was a weird like holiday for her to like, but she would ask us in like March what we wanted to be. And then like she would just like make these elaborate costumes and we'd wear them for like one night and like usually with a coat over it. So it's like, why?
My mom was the same way, except it wasn't that much lead time.
No.
It was like, pick out what you want from the actual Halloween store and then I'll go home and like sew it tonight.
Oh
and
my
then,
gosh. Yeah.
So I was always like a knockoff M&M. I wasn't like the official M&M. I probably
you were, like,
cost
the one that
more
you get
money.
In like the general trail mix. Like it's like, this is not
this off brand.
This is off brand.
Chocolate Circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I happened to be in LA last Halloween and I was staying in West Hollywood and it was just like, that is like, it's an event.
Yes. No,
and
I can,
it's just
I can,
too much.
You can feel like it probably lingers. Like I can still feel like I was just in West Hollywood like like I stayed there for a little bit when I was out in LA, and I could feel the lingering of like some like just like real like tasty Halloween.
I didn't even do, all I did was walk to the Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And that like was enough.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Like that intersection, I was like, I can't.
Oh my God.
I can't deal with it.
I can't do it.
Yeah, no. This the rest of this episode is going to be about going out and how it's awful. And
great.
I'm like getting to that point where I'm like, it's just, you have to like, there's so much psyching up that you have to do
it
in
is,
order to take it.
There are some nights you have to like, you will need like a human-sized spatula to like pry me away from whatever it is, because I will lay on a cold bare floor inside if it means not having to go out sometimes.
I'm in that like weird in-between place right now where it's like, I want to be social. It's like,
yeah, sure.
I want invitations to turn down, basically.
Yeah, I think because like, yeah, I would, I agree.
You want to be asked, but then, you know, I don't want
to
go anywhere.
You want something better to do. Yeah, exactly. Or I don't want to. Yeah, the number of times I've heard about things I wasn't invited to, things that I would never have gone to, but when I realized that everyone else went and I was like, why wasn't I invited?
Right, right.
It's unreal.
Yeah, I'll make myself mad by like going through people's Instagrams and then being like, why? Even though like sometimes I was invited and I didn't go, and then I'm like, fuck you. Why didn't you convince me harder?
Exactly. No one told me that this is what it was going to be.
And still, I think it was, then you're there and it's like, ugh, why am I here?
Yeah.
One thing I did want to ask you about, because I remember talking with Darcy Carden about Harry Styles.
Oh my God.
I know Darcy and I are competing for his love, and now you have been in the mix. Now I can confront you about it.
Yes, no, please.
Head on. So when did your Harry relationship begin?
My Harry relationship began, I think so, you know, in terms of like One Direction and then Harry Styles, like I do look at them, even though he was part of One Direction, I do think of myself as like a directioner that like loved the band. And then I loved him so much when he was in the band as well. And then that he was having such a great solo career is awesome as well. But I would say that it was probably when I realized he was really funny. Like when they were on the X Factor, they would make these videos in between like episodes, and it would like the vlogs, and usually like Louis would host them, but like Harry would be so funny on them, like,
right?
And just like his voice just hooking like this, and I just thought he was very, very. And what's weird is that I've also just thought that like he's so talented, like he has such a great voice, and he genuinely has this like majestic spirit. I'm talking about somebody who's so much younger than me, but like I just think the world of him. What's your journey? So let's compare and contrast really quick.
Yeah, no, similar. Well, when I started working and writing for BuzzFeed,
sure,
rest in peace,
R.I.P. Is it gone?
I mean, basically,
I know, right?
In spirit, it is dead. I remember, like, I was on Tumblr every day,
sure,
and I
oh
started
gosh
seeing all of these like pictures and GIFs and all of these things of One Direction. I was like, who are these children?
Yeah.
And eventually like I learned, and then I started writing about them as in like, oh, this is funny that I'm like a grown man talking about a boy band.
Yes.
And then like the more I did it, it was true Stockholm Syndrome.
That's the name of a great song that they have too.
One of my faves. Where I like got sucked in, and then I like, it led to fights.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah.
If you remember that This Is Us, the movie, that's the only This Is Us I recognize. Is the
oh my
One
God,
Direction
it's the only one I would even recommend.
Documentary, yeah.
Great doc.
Give it an Emmy.
Oh my God, give it an Emmy. Give it an Oscar.
Where's the One Direction Emmy?
I know.
It was when BuzzFeed was still kind of new and we didn't get invited to anything.
Yeah.
And I saw that the premiere was happening in New York like the day before.
Uh-huh.
And so I asked my boss, I was like, can I request like press access? And he was like, yeah. And so I wrote to whoever, Sony or Columbia, and they were like, absolutely not. Like, what the fuck is BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. The next day, my boss calls me over the day of the premiere. He was like, you're going to be mad at me, but we got an email last night with an invite from someone else, and we're sending someone else to go. And I was
my God.
Are you fucking kidding.
Yes.
I like
no.
lost my shit. Also, I was like an intern and had no right to question anything.
I mean, in my brain, you're like a high level editor.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I was an intern making $10 an hour.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, this is, you owe me.
Well, what I also love too, what I think is very true, is that because you started writing about them, you said, and you just got fully enveloped in that. And I genuinely believe that no matter who you are, if you gave those five gentlemen a chance and you like you really tried to learn about their dynamics and their individuality and then there's like all this stuff, it is completely engrossing and it is just the most positive, happy, fulfilling like fandom.
Yeah. I think I might have
I'm aware of what I sound like, but I also don't care.
No, I also think like I might have even said this when I was talking with Darcy, but I think like, you know, like 60 years ago, however many years ago, like the Beatles were a thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was not that long ago.
60 years ago. No, 60 years ago, the Beatles. Wait, I think so, right?
Maybe it was 50. It was like the 70s.
What are we in right now?
70s?
2019. Oh, 70s, right. Okay.
So like 50, more like 50.
In my brain, we landed on the moon in like 1910. Like,
I know. I have no concept of time.
No,
I really
do.
I don't accept
none.
How old I am.
I don't. I don't.
Yeah. So, but like, you know, like people, if they were, you had to like tune in to the one time that they were on TV and like set your channel and like, you know, maybe you get a magazine once every month. But like now it's like, if you're like into something, there are ways that you can just constantly bombard your brain with them every second
of the
day.
There is something brand new. I mean, it is, I would compare it to like sports stats, like where like it is new content to analyze, consume, love every single day, whether it's the game, whether it's people talking about the game, whether it's the figures of the game, like who did this, who did that. And then on top of that, I mean, like I've always been a boy band fan. Like I've always loved them so much. I know this is a podcast about hating things, but I love boy bands.
It's a very loose theme.
It's a loose theme, I sure. But I feel like even like for my intense like NSYNC fandom in the early 2000s, you know, I didn't have, or late 90s, like the access to them. Could you imagine like if I had, who they would be to me if I had like YouTube and Instagram?
Right.
And like all these ways.
It just amplifies it all.
Yeah. Like there was no funnel for just Chris Kirkpatrick to like tweet out his funny, his funny thought on a movie. You know what I mean?
There is a thing, like, I think it's the modern era is kinder to like the lesser members of bands. Because like you, there's more reason for you. There's more to grasp onto.
Yeah.
Than just like, oh, they're just there in the background as filler members. I'm not naming names.
No.
Everybody has their base.
Exactly. Yeah. Their land space.
I remember also, I remember someone
Bass,
else talking.
I know it's Bass, by the way.
Have you met anybody that you've like truly fangirled over in person?
In person, like I've actually fully fangirled over.
Or like fangirled,
once I tried to keep it cool and then I freaked out.
Yeah.
This is strange because we were just talking about him, but I did meet the gentleman of One Direction, and I've met them on different occasions, and I'm so embarrassed because it's like, I'm not embarrassed, it's more like separating, like in my brain I still believe deeply that we could be good friends.
We're on the same page. I used to say this to people because I was like, of course I'd freak out over Beyonce because like we have nothing in common. I'll never see her.
Oh,
again. I ever met her.
Oh, yeah. What would I say to her?
But I was like, I could be friends with these people.
Yes.
So like, I need to be chill.
Oh, and also like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I met him and I had to play it cool for like a couple hours because we were in the same room and I like couldn't do it. But then like that night, like I went home and I feel like I called people I haven't spoken to in years. And I was
FYI,
I want to let you know where I'm at right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I am on unemployment, but I did meet Kevin Bacon.
You know what? If you could buy groceries with that kind of status.
Oh, sure. Why
we
not?
We'd be rolling in it.
Oh, trust me. Trust me.
Yeah, I don't know. I do feel like, there are people who are like, you know, you have to like play it chill, never let anybody know that you're like a fan.
I also, though, I think as I'm getting older, I am willing to play it less cool, though. I'm also like, because I don't know if it's the last time I'll ever interact with these people.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like, I mean, and I love, like, one thing I just love doing is I love being a fan of something.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's nothing better than being like, your work means the most, and I like read about you all the time. Like, I love it. It's so fun. And so I think I mean, I don't want to creep you out. Like, that's a different thing. But I think fanning out on somebody, I don't know. I feel like it's okay. I think some people, it's a very, 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 like, real thing to, like, subscribe to the idea of, like, don't be a fan in front of them, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you might cross paths in some sort of working environment or blah, blah, blah. But I also think that, like, I don't know, like, I have to tell these people.
Yeah.
I have to tell them that I love their work.
There's also a fine line between, like, I'm such a fan of your work and, like, I love you and what you do.
Yeah.
And then, like, I know, like, where all of the moles on your body are. And,
oh,
like,
yes. No. Yeah. I can name every single one of your tattoos.
Right. Which is, like, might be true, but, like, maybe we, like, suppress that.
Yeah. Exactly.
My favorite One Direction, like, interaction tweets were, I think it was Niall on his birthday said, like, I don't even remember when I was born, like what time I was born. And some girl tweeted back and was like, you were born at this.
Oh, my gosh.
He was
that sounds right.
How do you know that?
Yeah, I know. That is so wild.
But, like, I don't know. His birth certificate was on the internet somewhere and she, like, found it anyway.
Oh, my gosh. God, could you imagine?
This will be a weird transition.
Please.
But the movie that you were in isn't a romantic.
Yeah.
You were... Did you have scenes with Liam Hemsworth, or have you just done, like, a lot of press stuff with him?
We shot it a while ago. You know what? We did a big dance number together. So we rehearsed,
and so
we would see each other a lot. We weren't like ships in the night. Like, we would always be in. On set at the same time, but maybe not in the same scene.
Because he's like, he, for me, is one of those people that I'd be like, we're in this room together, and you got to spend all this time with him.
Oh, I know. You can feel it, too. I wish I had some sort of, like, interesting tea to spill on Liam Hemsworth. I don't know what your preconceived notion already is.
I mean,
but
my
I think
preconceived notion of all of the Hemsworth is that they're just hot, like, hunks of meat. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's funny. I don't know if I could handle it. I don't know if I could handle that presence.
Yeah, he is definitely, there is definitely, like, a sense of gravity around him where he's just, like, he's, like, taller than you could think somebody would be, but it looks right.
Right.
You know, it's, like, not, like, the type of height that's, like, oh, you're tall. It's just, like, what a tall man.
Yeah.
And then it's just, like, he's, like...
Yeah, that's just, like,
man.
Australia.
He's a,
like,
superhero. Yes, it's literally what you think, the coins of Australia feature.
Like, I follow people that I should not be following for my self-esteem on Instagram, and it's, like, everybody from Australia, even, like, the average-looking people in Australia... are, like, Adonises.
It's unreal. I have a friend that went there for, like, a month, and this is a couple years ago, but he said that he was like, I've never had sex the way I've had sex in Australia.
Yeah, because you have to, like, fight off, like, snakes and killer
kangaroos.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
In order to get there. So once you're there, it's just, like, the adrenaline
once
and fear.
You hack through the brush, you're there. Yeah, and you can have sex.
Yeah. Well, I do want to ask about the movie.
No, please.
Because you play this, like, kind of parody of the gay best friend that's in every rom-com. What are your, like, rom-com? Are you pro rom-com?
I'm pro movies that are, like, meant to just be fun and like happy. Like, you know, it's not going to change the world, but it's going to maybe change your day. And I think that's just as good.
Yeah, I've been thinking because I've talked about it on people who listen to the podcast will know. Like, I only recently have started to try to be, like, purposeful about dating.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, wait, what do you mean by purposeful?
So, like, I don't know. I never really, like, tried all that much. Like, if something happened, it happened. But, like, now I'm like, you know what? I feel like I need to, like, put in the effort.
You're swiping.
Join the app. Yeah, it's not going great.
No, it's there's no way it can go good.
Like, I just
that's my take on it.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know if watching rom-coms would make me feel better or worse at this point.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting. I think it depends on where you start. Like, is the rom-com, like, where you start as, like, the identifying character. Like, I've always watched rom-coms as, like, oh, this is my friend. This isn't me.
Yeah,
you know what? And so I think, like,
that's true. Yeah.
That's how I've watched them. But some people are like, I'm Katherine Heigl, you know, and you're like, I'm never that.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, that is the thing when you're a gay guy and it's like, it's hard to put yourself in the position of the like hero of the story.
Yeah. I think I would probably freak out if we could get, like, a good gay rom-com. And, like, I know that there are, I think, a couple in works. I think Billy Eichner has one coming out. And that's exciting. That's, like, very, very cool. And you hope that, you know, I think you don't want it to be, like, you want to put so much pressure on it to be, like, be my experience.
Right.
But it's, like, oh, that stuff adds up over a while where you're just, like, oh, I've never had... I'm not Matthew McConaughey. I'm not Kate Hudson.
Right.
I'm not even like their cool employees on the side. I'm sort of like just like the one that like sees them in the back of like the makeup counter and is like, girl, you know what I mean? And I think that's,
yeah. That's even with like Love, Simon. It's like, oh, yeah. Great. It's great for all of the young gay kids who cannot see themselves in it. But I was like, I don't, this was not my experience.
Oh, see, I like, oh, this was not my experience either. I like loved Love, Simon.
I loved it. I mean, I'd cry.
Yeah, did you see Alex Strangelove?
No.
Okay, that's on Netflix. That one's really good too.
I'll watch that.
That's a really, I like loved that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think maybe it's telling that I feel like the rom-coms that I've been rewatching, I mean, are like Legally Blonde Devil Wears Prada and some of those like just become like a career woman.
Yeah.
That's the focus.
Yeah,
that's been really my funny. Model. But yeah, I have been thinking about like, would it make me feel better if I watched some of these more like My Best Friend's Wedding. And
you know, when I was doing the movie, I watched a bunch of them in a row. And I watched, I'm a big Sandra Bullock fan. Mm-hmm, so like that was like a great like gateway into me where I will love any and every. Like she could walk into this room, take a dump on this table and walk out and not even make eye contact with us or make haunting eye contact with both of us as she does it.
Yeah.
And I will be like, great piece of work. I love you.
she's
awesome.
Bird Box.
Bird Box, great. She's so good. And she's so good in drama. And she's also so good in comedies and specifically romantic comedies.
So let's see. You told Out.com that playing this role was cathartic.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
You know, I found that it was cathartic for a couple reasons. Mainly because, you know, I think that it took me a little bit longer to be comfortable with my own sexuality than I probably wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a little bit longer to sort of also be comfortable with it in like an entertainment aspect. Because I do think that like if I'm, as performers and comedians and things like that, you are putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And if there's a part of you that's, you have a discomfort with.
Yeah.
Discomfort, right? You know, you're not allowing yourself to fully maybe like find the funny and so forth. I'd done a lot of personal work up to that point, but then to get the license to just be as whatever it is that people either thought you were, whatever it is that I saw growing up, whatever it is, I think it was a real like pastiche of opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of cathartic in a sense to be able to just kind of go show up on set and just be like, okay, well, I'm literally playing a two-dimensional character.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
To know that there was more underneath of it, but to always kind of play the thing that I was afraid that people saw. Even though I want to make it very clear, even if that is how you behave or if whomever, how you act or that you identify with that character as is, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Right.
But I think that there's a stigma that kind of comes along with being bullied growing up. So that was part of the catharsis. And then the other part of it being just playing, it was cathartic just to play a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And because things don't necessarily always work out the way they should, to sort of be like trapped in that world.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, put you in a great mood.
Mm-hmm. Your IMDb page says that you were a competitive tennis player growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I always love the like fun facts.
Yeah.
On IMDb. Where did you grow up?
I grew up just north of Baltimore.
Okay.
Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that was like my dream. It's I think as a kid, I know for a fact as a kid, I wanted to be a professional tennis player. And so I sort of played, I played competitively in the USTA juniors and had like a mental breakdown at like 14, 15 when I realized it wasn't going to happen.
You know, we all have those moments.
But yeah. It's weird. It's like one thing about tennis that is crazy is that it does force you to sort of have an adult brain.
Yeah.
Because it's this individual sport. Like you're not like palling around with other kids. Mm-hmm. Like when you're working and you're practicing, it's not like, I mean, you can go hit with other people your age,
mm-hmm.
but then you have mainly like your coaches and your parents and these other people that are adults asking you to like do adult problem solving at a very young age. And so I think that maybe that was just not the right thing for me as a person, because I'm still a huge fan of tennis. Like,
yeah.
I'm so pumped. Whenever, I mean, I have I spend so much money a year on like opportunities to watch it. I guess like my thing is that like when you watch tennis players now, professional ones, and I always get very nervous when they have to give interviews because I'm like, there's a sociopath. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was
that's like
that
yeah, every athlete. I'm like, oh yeah. You're a crazy person, but that's how you do it.
Yeah,
it's like because you have to like tamp down on the rest of your personality.
Exactly.
That, like questions yourself in any way. So I was like being an actor then. That was the dream after tennis.
I think so,
You kind of just fall into, that was the next thing.
It was, yeah. I had always like loved theater. I always loved films and so forth growing up. And then by the time I think I had quit tennis, I had already started. Like there was like maybe like 1 or 2 years of overlap where I was trying to do both.
Uh-huh.
And I was slowly like breaking down mentally from tennis and then slowly like probably also breaking down from theater, but like in a much different new creative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I like got into high school, I was like, okay, this is probably going to be the path that I want to take. But there is like no security in that.
No.
It's like horrible.
No, yeah. So before we go, this is a game that it's not really a game. I say this every week.
okay.
Normally we play a game called A Lab or Hate, and mm-hmm. it's where we find stuff that you've said that you've hated on Twitter. But apparently you've only used the word hate once on Twitter. So congratulations.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow.
I don't know what...
I'm being a good internet Samaritan that way. Sorry about that. Thank you for still having me.
Okay, we have the hate tweet. It was... Victoria slowly lowered her tan naked body into the relaxing bubble bath. I hate being a lady garbage man, she thought. So that wasn't even...
It was more just like me. This was like a joke where I was like gonna write a novel on Twitter.
Uh-huh,
like
uh-huh.
One tweet at a time.
Oh.
And I just was like, I did it for like a day just as like a series of...
So you've really like never... Yeah, that would... You've never truly expressed hate for anything on Twitter.
I know. I think I'm in therapy for it right now, actually, though.
So like, this is times you've used like romance or love... The most romantic thing I've ever done is drink a LaCroix. What does that mean?
I think probably based on the faves and likes of that tweet, it wouldn't. I think it was the word LaCroix. I feel like I have a detailed memory of me deciding to tweet this.
Uh-huh.
Was I was looking at the LaCroix in my fridge, and I was like, "That's a pretty logo." And then I sometimes will, like, my inner monologue will be like, I'm gonna treat myself to something, and I had nothing else, and so I was like a little self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a French, is it French? Is LaCroix French?
It sounds French. It's,
and that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is the, yeah, it's the language of romance.
Yes.
Someone just apologized to me for the elevator stopping on their floor so they could get on. And I kid you not, I think it's real love.
Oh my God, this is...
If we went through my recent tweets, they're all very sad and desperate.
Oh,
so,
yeah. No, that's good. I remember this moment. I was in the elevator, the doors open, ding, and this man just went like this. He saw me, looked at me, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he just like got in, and we were going to the same floor. But like, his instinct was to apologize that he interrupted my flow of the elevator so he could get on. And I was like, wow, that's where I'm operating too.
Yeah. I do think I'm reaching a point now where I'm probably like so desperate that mm-hmm. it's just like the smallest displays of like kindness. Are we?
I'm walking out of this podcast being like, I think he's and I are going to be in love.
Oh, yeah. That's what I talk about in therapy, where I'm like, I'm pretty sure I like met my soulmate this week.
Exactly.
And my
we talked for like an
like,
hour. It was just us.
Do you know his name?
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, I think the thing that has been fucking with me recently, and this is where like not being as active on social media is good, is that like it can lull you into a sense of like intimacy is a strong word, but like it's like, oh well, they look at everything and they like all of these things, and it's like, that's not real.
That's, I see what you're saying, that like, oh, they've liked this, so therefore they must have read it, ingested it,
taken
it to heart, let that really touch them,
mm-hmm.
rather than, oh, this is a person in general that I like, and here's another thing that they just did. Is that what you're saying?
Sort of, yeah. It's just like, I don't know, it's a weird thing where you can opt into being like bombarded by someone else's presence, mm-hmm. if you like choose to.
Yes. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It was like, oh, if I'm like start to be kind of into someone, then it's like every time I open Instagram, it's like their face is right there, and there's like no escape.
Yes. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's also another dangerous in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's like what they used to do, like you would walk into the serial killer's lair and there'd be photos of this person everywhere. But now that's just like, we all have that.
Yeah. Now it's just Instagram.
Yeah. It's just Instagram. We all have a serial killer wall in our pockets.
How about this is the oldest one. Oh, trust me. I would love to leave this checkout line, but someone isn't giving me their phone number. I love that. I love like you just stay in line until we exchange numbers. I'm not leaving.
Exactly. And that was it. I think it was like, I'm somebody that falls in love like probably like immediately. Like I can see somebody and then just be completely in love. And I think that if I remember this, like a lot of my tweets are not just like invented. They are like based on real interactions. But like I remember like standing in line and probably like this cashier just like took my breath away. And I feel like I remember leaving that line being like, ooh, I've lingered here way too long. Like this person absolutely knows what's up. And I think my favorite people in the world to talk to are people that people I'm entering into transactions with on either side.
Yeah.
But like if I'm like getting a coffee or if I'm doing, you know, if I'm buying groceries, I will chat for hours with those people.
I am not that way because my mom was always that way.
Sure.
Where it's like I'd be the one standing there while she's like becoming best friends with the woman in front of us. And I'm like, can we wrap this up so we can go home? But no, I'd like to be a person like that.
Yeah, it's
fun. You never know.
And I mean, like, even if it's not even thinking about it, like, it could be a way to meet somebody, but also, it's also like a fun way to like pass the time that is otherwise negative. It's like, it's not negative emotionally, but like just negative time. Like,
right.
It's just like, I'm in line to get a coffee. I'm two people deep. Like, this, I don't need this to be nothing in my day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that.
Oh, thank you.
All right, before we let you go completely, where can people find you and your work?
Oh, find me and my work. Well, I guess I'm on Twitter, as we've discussed, at Brandon SJ. And then I'm on Instagram as Brandon Takes Pictures.
Okay.
And then I usually will tweet about my stuff there. You can see me in a couple movies and some TV shows popping up. Last week, I was on the other two on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
So if you haven't already started watching that show, you should watch it.
I love it.
It is a bingeable show, too. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Anyway.
And then Isn't It Romantic is...
Oh, it's still in theaters.
Yeah, it's out.
It's still in theaters.
Right?
It's out right now, and it's out in... I don't know. It's internationally. It's on Netflix, except U.S. and Canada. You still have to go to the theater. But it's a... You know what?
But we can. We can do it.
You can do it. You know, get out of the house. Go into a nice, like, warm theater. Like, find... Bring people that you love. Bring people that you hate. Mm-hmm. Bring people that you've just met in line at the Starbucks. And...
All of the above.
Have fun watching it. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
for complaining with us.
No, I thank you for having me. This is so wonderful. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
All right. That means I get invited back.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad stuff go down easier. Starting with the TV we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
So I finished the first season of Broadchurch.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking loved it. And I'm still watching Pen 15.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually started any new shows since we last chatted, but I did see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So I'm going to count that here.
Yeah, sure.
Have you seen it?
Not yet, but I heard it's like the best movie ever.
It was so enjoyable. It was the first movie I ever went and saw by myself. It was actually Oscars night, and all my friends were watching the Oscars, and I was in LA, and so I went to a legal weed store, and then I got really high and went to see this movie by myself, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
Yeah.
It was just an absolute delight. It was exactly what I wanted. Like, I did have feelings and emotions during it, but not too many, and then it still brought you up, and like, the cast is amazing. Catherine Hahn is the villain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But is it live action?
No, it's animated, but it's gorgeous animation. Like, I have never seen anything like it. It's beautiful. And it's just, yeah, it's a real treat. I've also been listening to a lot of Nicole Byer's podcast, and she says real treat a lot. And I've realized that I've started saying that.
What a treat.
Yeah. But I really loved it. So I'm going to use that for my chase of this week, TV-wise. What about you? What are you watching?
What am I watching? I feel like I've been in like a TV hole lately.
I feel like when it's wintertime, even though spring's on its way, when it's wintertime, you just end up like watching the things that you love the most over and over again.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just because I've had like a weird couple of months that like I'm like comforted by rewatching the things that I like love.
That's what I mean with winter.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Just like everyone is sad.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like I say this every time that there is anything new in the RuPaul world, but the brand new season just started. They're now on this cycle where that's like there's like no break.
Wow.
It's just like one season bleeds into another season, bleeds into another season. I mean, like, yeah, there has been an onslaught of Drag Race stuff happening, but season 11 just started. So if you've been waiting to get into Drag Race, now's your chance.
Here it is.
To get into it. And it's good. I liked the first episode.
Great.
Yeah. What is your non-TV chaser this week?
My chaser this week is very silly, but Alex and I got a water flosser, but not just any water flosser. It's called Oral Breeze, and it hooks up to your sink. So instead of having like a giant thing around, like that, you know what I mean? You know how water flossers are usually huge?
I don't really.
Okay, water flossers are usually huge. And I was like, how does anyone even have the cabinet space to fit this? But I don't have that kind of space because I live in a New York apartment. So this one hooks up to your freaking sink. And then it's just crazy. And I love using it. And my mouth feels amazing. It really makes me happy. It's really intense water pressure, and it took quite a couple of times to get used to it. So that was also pretty funny because we end up like spraying the entire bathroom.
Yeah, that's why I've always been like a little nervous about them.
But after I think it took like 3 tries for me to get the movement of it, and now I fucking love it. So yeah, that's my chaser. Boom.
Water flosser.
Water flosser, but specifically this kind. Also, it's made in America. What's your chaser this week?
MAGA.
Oh my God, stop.
Mine, technically I'm saying this before the weekend, but everybody pretend like it's after the weekend. I went to Wichita State University, and then I performed at Laugh Fest in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was one of the headliners of the comedy festival there.
Boop, boop.
Like, Ali Wong was one of the headliners. Like, all these huge comedians that I'm like, I was invited by accident.
No, you weren't!
But by this time, I will have done 6 shows in Michigan at this festival, which is probably the biggest run of shows that I've had in any one place. So I'm excited. And hopefully I'll be touring more and traveling and doing more stuff.
Yay!
So that's it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Bellassai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our editors are Dina Kleiner and Josh Gwynn. Music by Hansel Su. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Bellassai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. For whatever struggles you're facing, from depression and anxiety to trauma and grief, BetterHelp can connect you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient, you can schedule secure video or phone sessions, as well as chat and text with your therapist, and anything you share is completely confidential. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Unhappy Hour listeners even get 10% off your first month with the discount code UNHAPPY, so why not get started? Head to betterhelp.com/unhappy and fill out a questionnaire to get matched with a counselor you'll love today.